Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. Meet Todd Parr, who has learned to never forget what it means to need someone. Welcome to All the Wonders, the Children's Book Podcast. I'm Matthew Winner. This is episode number 391 of the podcast with Todd Parr. Todd's books carry a message of love, hope, and acceptance. Love the World, his newest picture book, speaks to a variety of circumstances and situations where we can all do a little better to let the love in. I spoke with Todd about his illustration style, his journey into making books for children, and the great big heart he puts to work in each of his books. It's a conversation I hope makes you feel hopeful and loved and accepted as well. Here's episode number 391 of the podcast with Todd Parr. Welcome to the podcast, Todd Parr. I'm so excited that you're joining me tonight.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
I'm like giddy because to me, having never met you before, Todd, but knowing your work for so long, for my children being raised and reading board books that you had created and having your books in my library, I just feel like you're this guy that exudes love and kindness. And so I guess I just want to start by saying I'm glad you're in the world, and I'm glad you're using your powers to do such good.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And, you know, it's like, thank you for sharing it. And, you know, there was a day when not everybody, probably still today, where they go, what is this stuff he's doing? So when you hear somebody genuine like you that is passionate about, of course, what you do, which I admire, and to say that about my work, it means a lot. And, you know, again, I think for me, it was like, it's a natural. I was at an event recently for the new book, Love the World, and we were supposed to be at a community center, and somehow a wedding was booked, and they set up prior to their time that they were supposed to. So when I got there, they go, we have a little bit of bad news. The librarians, they said, the only place for us is the laundromat next door. And I'm like, that's cool. We'll make it work. I go, I got the underwear book. I can read that about, you know, there's got do wash your underwear. Don't use too much soap. I go, we'll make it work. Don't worry about it. And then they go, oh my God, you are just like your books. And I go, wouldn't it be a horrible thing if I wrote these books that I do and that I was a rotten person? I mean, that would never happen. But I said, you know, I truly am my books. That's why, you know, I'm not brilliant or anything. It's just I speak from the heart and convey that in my work, and that's who I am.
I don't think I've ever heard someone put it that way before. I love knowing and feeling like we know the authors and the illustrators because of their body of work, but to imagine the opposite, that
Wouldn't it be awful if they were just monsters behind this book? Is quite horrifying, actually. I'm glad you're not. Thanks for being nice, Todd.
Oh, I know nothing else, you know, so.
It's
easy.
Well, why don't we start by talking about Love the World, and then I just want to go backwards and hear about your origin story again, like as I said before, I'm a big fan of your work. I especially love how sincere the words feel and how you really seem to craft these books to feel like you, Todd Parr, are in front of this reader saying like, hey, you're a good person and the way you are is amazing just the way it is. And there's going to be other people that are different and there's other people you encounter, but it's all good and it's all love. And I especially love that we often get these nice little personal messages at the end. Our love, Todd, messages, as I tend to call them out. But let's talk about Love the World. Let's talk about where this story comes from for you. Why this message now?
Well, you know, it actually it came from a piece of artwork, and you may or may not know that I got into publishing children's books via my artwork. That, you know, my real passion, you know, once I finally got through school in the first part of my life, was like, wait a minute, this art thing has been with you for so many years, and there's a reason that you only wanted to draw Snoopy all through school instead of anything else. And there was this passion for art, and I just didn't have the confidence. And as I got older and did so many other things, I finally found that confidence to say, this is what I'm going to do. And a lot of my original, you know, first artwork were just simply these messages like, be who you are. It's okay to be different. Love the world. It doesn't matter what color you are. And it was just really me writing that with pictures on giant canvases. And, you know, it's how I found my way through putting these on t-shirts, and that in greeting cards ended up into publishing. So Love the World came from, you know, original piece of art, and not all my books started that way, you know. And it wasn't until I started questioning myself, like, well, how many versions of It's Okay to Be Different in this message that you do can you do before you start diluting what you do? And then I turned back to some of my original artwork and looked at it and said, I wonder what story's behind this. And Love the World was a perfect example, because it was love yourself, love the world was the canvas. And I started thinking, what would that book be about? And of course, this book was finished last October, long before, not that there wasn't enough turmoil in the world prior, but, you know, looking at the past 6 months and things, how much stuff has gone on. And, you know, I did this book because I just, you know, I felt like this message was good 20 years ago, and it's especially good today. But it, you know, so it came from a piece of art, and again, in honesty, and not being influenced about any particular thing, but how do you want kids to feel? I mean, you know, you didn't feel this way when you were in school. You know, I had all kinds of problems fitting in. So how do you want kids to feel when you remember when you struggled so much? So Love the World is really based on my past. It's based on the world as we know it, and just wanting to help kids get through it and be strong.
I don't think I realized that your art started out the way that it did, with just these affirming messages. That to me feels so much like it already fits so well into the children's literature market. So I'm glad that that's where the path took you. But to have this message, really this timeless message, this ageless message, stay with you, and be able to be that affirming to children. I love that you start with, you know, I read Love the World and I think of different songs and books and things that I grew up with, like hearing Heal the World on the radio, mm-hmm. and there's qualities of Raffi that come to mind, these like good connections that I had to growing up with his music and his personhood that come to mind. But just to read the start of it, this inventory that you do of your reader, I just feel like is sweet, that it's love the world, love your face, love your space, love your nose, love your toes, love your eyes, love your size. And you go on like that with this sort of sing-song rhyme. But just the way that, I don't know, the way that to me it just feels like, the closest thing I could liken it to is with me, with my children, being close to them and just sort of poking at my child, saying, I love this about you, and that, and this, and that, and this, and that. And all the things mm-hmm. that you may or may not think are important are huge to me. And so mm-hmm. to have this book be, they're huge to other people too. You should love that about yourself, and you should love that about others. I like that message. And I like to think that there are children that read this, much like the way I did, and walk away from it going, you know what, I should go out and be a little different. I don't often think that outside of your books, I don't think I often experience books that leave me with that feeling of I feel really good. Let me go out and do something. Not let me go tell people about this story and how it changed my thinking, but just, it just feels in a lot of ways like your books help to recharge our spirit, recharge our hearts, and let us go out and do the good work.
Well, thank you. And you know, for me, when I'm asked about, you know, what's it like to, you know, to do this and be an author, because I know so many people that they have ideas for books they want to write. You know, this is a tough business. You think kids, you know, you think, oh, it's got to be. It's not. It's hard. And you learn all this the further, you know, the more you get into it. But I think for me, it's just like I enjoy what I do. I get to do my art. Not only do I get to be something that so many people aspire or want to be, a children's author, but I get to help make a difference in the world. And I think that's really important to me, that I'm not just writing books and, you know, collecting royalties. I'm like, hopefully I'm making a huge difference, you know, with the kids that my books touch, because I was one of those kids that struggled with so many things. You know, my family life, my personal self. I mean, it was, you know, dyslexia, you know, all, you name it, the problems that I had. I felt second grade. I had to repeat second grade because I couldn't read. You know, it just, things weren't recognized. Like, well, what's wrong with him? Oh, he's just a slow learner. But, you know, it's like, how about he's a visual learner? How about he, you know, is dyslexia, and those things weren't addressed. And you look at where I'm at now and go, look, I was there. So what I'm doing now is hopefully helping and making a difference to other kids, because I was that kid that was different, that was stood out, that, you know, made fun of, and, oh, you repeated, you had to go through second grade twice. You know, I want kids to be more confident. I think the more confident they are to get through school, the better they are to deal with things in life. And God knows the world offers up so many challenges. I
can also see in your work, you know, I'm a teacher. We talked about this before recording, that we see all of these different strengths in children, but we all grew up identifying all these weaknesses in us, all of our shortcomings. And often there were adults that were helping us to recognize those shortcomings. But I see so much in you, this strong emotional intelligence, that it just feels like you understand what it means to feel things and how you experience those feelings and how to help others experience those feelings, that I'd like to think that in where we are in education now, that the culture of education is right for this too, to have a place here for these books and for all of us. I'm sure where I'm going with this, but all of us raising children with this message that we're all so different, and it's important that we're different, because we can't affect change unless we're all different and finding a way to work together.
Yeah, and Again, I would say denial and has been a big part of my success because, I didn't know what I was doing. And in the beginning, people were like, what are these books? They're not picture books. They're not board books. They're not stories. There's no characters. There's no pastels. There's no bunnies. And I think even, in the day of borders, it's like, it's okay to be different was in the adult self-help section. And I'm like, no, this is a picture book. It's meant for kids to feel like they're as normal as everyone else, even though they struggle with things. And I think the term you were always, you've been ahead of yourself, applied for so many years that, these types of books were either their self-help or I don't know. They certainly weren't on the picture book wall because it was just like, but I think, now for once I'm not ahead of myself, maybe that the time is right that, more people are wanting to talk about certain things and inclusiveness and that you don't need a character per se to do it. And so I've kind of grown into this, but I'm happy to say maybe for once I'm in sync with the world that I've been doing this for almost 20 years. And now finally I'm right in sync instead of Todd, you're ahead of yourself. So, but I think it makes kids, better all around, again, when they can be more confident and understand certain things.
Yeah. I'm glad that you've been where you've been. I think about how I've used the family book for years, just because I feel like there were no other books that showed all sorts of families, and you do it through showing people that are, have different skin tones, but also are totally different creatures. We have aliens and different, all sorts of different animals and creatures in that book, but just that the message and the way that your books are able to be mirrors, so well is something that I think is great. Todd, when you create these books, I know you said, in particular with Love the World that this had come from some of the art that you used to, where you were starting with your canvases. But when it comes to writing the text for the book, do you build the book as you go, or do you have to first sit and determine what text is going to drive the story?
No, I think it's always like based on, the premise of, okay, this is like, love the world. So like, what about love? How are you going to approach this? And it's like, well, love the animals, love yourself, love, and then build on that. The art is always my strength pretty much, once I have a theme, and in the book before this, Be Who You Are, it was like, oh, okay, be this, be that, be this, be everything that you can be. So, those are, once I get going, but for me, I always like the art is the most important thing. And then it becomes to the predictable. What can the art be that is the most unpredictable thing that you would think? And in some cases that's extreme. Like, it's okay to eat macaroni and cheese in the bathtub just to simply balance, a book that I think is getting too heavy about being different, to throw them off and to add humor to, what visually would you not expect? And in Love the World, it's the first book that I did that rhymes. And I've always heard, like, don't do a rhyming children's book. and I'm like, well, okay, but I don't know any better, but I've never done it. So, but this one just seemed to fall into that. And then I was a little concerned, like, well, now Todd, you're doing a rhyming book, how is that? But I think in this case it just was the perfect way to deliver this message in the way that I can. And so really, it's once I have the theme, it's the art that really drives the whole thing. And obviously I have a lot of help, because I don't consider myself, an esteemed writer. But, I get a lot of feedback of helping me place the text, because honestly, that's the most difficult thing for me to do is to make a flow. I can give you flow through artwork, but the words, here, this is what I've done, you know, and then they come back to me and go, what about this? And it's like basically organized chaos. And a lot of my life, you know, the way my books turn out, they're just, they get it. They see it. They go, I know what you're doing, but it's all over the place. Well, and I go, I know, because that's just me. So we need to fix it. We need to bring it back in. And that's where I get a lot of help. So,
well, I'm glad that you're helping us to see the hand of an editor. Certainly you bring the heart to it, but the editor helps get maybe the pacing or the organization down. You talked about the finding the absurd or finding the unpredictable in your art. And I've had the book sitting open on my lap since we started. Because one of my favorite spreads because of the art specifically is love your ears, love your tears, love your hair, love your flair. And to describe on love your tears, you have this gator crying and the words going, I feel better. And then the hair and flair, a sheep that it has hearts above the sheep's head going, bah. And then on the next page, or on the beneath it, love your hair, beneath it, love your flair. The sheep has been shearn, and the hair on the floor with just a heart right there on the shoulder. Bah, again, I just feel like it's just these nice little, as you're saying, it breaks it up. Not that this book gets too heavy the way that the other one had, but I can see, compared to Be Who You Are, where you're really trying to affirm that person and the person, what makes you unique and love the world, the way that you take care to, as you said, love all these different aspects of who you are and your emotions and other people and the sea and the land. This was just a nice little ridiculousness that I don't know. I just thought, as much as we personally love our hair or the flair that we bring to the table, I don't know. It just was it took me out of it the way that you were just saying it. Just a little thing to sort of snap the reader to and induce that giggle.
Well, and there was, and I'm glad that you know, it's nice to hear that, because the book is, you know, I've only shared it, you know, at a few things. I have not been out with this book in schools yet to see, you know, reactions. But first of all, there was not another art choice when I got to that page. It was just like, once I knew love your hair, love your flair, there was nothing. I mean, that hit me right away. I was like, oh, what must a sheep feel like when they go in for shearing and they're just devastated and embarrassed? And you know, but, you know, they got flair, you know, turn it into something positive. And then you think, you know, what is also behind that? And it's just like somebody that's dealing with cancer and loses their hair. I mean, it's so much deeper, you know, when I think of the art, because, and I don't try and explain this because I think it would lose its overall feel initially, but, you know, it's a springboard. And like, you know, maybe there's a teacher, a librarian that would go, we have a student that has just recently gone through chemotherapy, or their parents or whatever, they've lost their hair. And as a springboard, could they take this and use it as a matter of fact? Cause that's all I am. I'm like, matter of fact, there's no explaining here. Jump off, you know, as the professional where you need to. But that was instant. I knew that's what that page needed to be.
Yeah. That's so great too. You're right. Cause I mean, when you bring in flair, it could be, often we think of accessorizing, adding things on, but the idea of taking things away and seeing that beauty there, that's a wonderful connection. And I think, as you said, that you can see that there's different places where you explore that, the way that we could perceive those words just a little different, just a little askewed to really drive something home. That's nice.
Yeah. And I think the less is more always with me. You know, it's like, I think I put it out there and you can take it so many different directions.
Can I ask you, as a librarian, as a person who you could say professionally reads aloud for a living. When you designed this book, every couple pages you have a full spread with just this, some beautifully illustrated line like "love yourself, love the world." I think is what we keep seeing repeated: "love yourself, love the world." When you design a picture book, when you approach this, well, let me put it this way: when I read this book to children, as I have these first weeks of school, because it's such a great way to start off school that way, with messages like that, it really sets the tone. I should say, I'm feeling like compelled to tell you, I'm in a new school. I am brand new to these children.
Really?
I've been teaching for now 13 years. I am brand new to these children. And I know that I'm in a community that is in need of someone to really show up and care for them. And so right away, I have this book. I want to read it to them. And what I noticed, Todd, from the very first reading is that when we come to these full spreads, love yourself, love the world, the children immediately choral read with me. They join in. It's as if you're nodding to them saying, this is it. We're all going to do this together. And I wonder how much of that comes from you doing school visits, just from you knowing happy accidents maybe along the way that now has led you to doing this. I love that that quality is there. I love that it feels as though you're thinking of readers, not just, you know, of reading being a communal thing, not necessarily always a solo thing.
I think I learned this from Be Who You Are, because it just seemed like I really wanted to drive that point home that it's just like, you know, because of me, it was just like, look, I tried to be like everybody else for so many years that finally, you know, and there's a note in there about that finally I realized it was just easier to be who I was. Instead of trying to be like everybody else, because I was trying to fit in. And so I think for me, it was like, be who you are. How many times can you say that? You know, and none of my other books, you know, do that repetitive spread. And so in that, I, you know, I'm first reading it, and all of a sudden by the second spread, you know, the kids are like, be who you are. And I'm like, I did not prompt that. I did not ask for that. But you know what? You're right. And so I learned from that. So love yourself, you know, love the world seemed like a natural, again, for me to put that in there. And they just automatically go, oh, I get it. And hopefully it sinks in. And so it was a mistake, a planned mistake that I learned that resonated. I guess that could be the answer.
Well, and I remember I'm glad that was that mistake that stuck, and that now may, because of your readers, it may influence how you make books in the future. Those kind of things are awesome when that happens. Being able to see the children in your work that way is so cool. But in that story, you and I, we've crossed paths earlier, because about a year ago, Little Brown had me moderate a Twitter chat that you did for Be Who You Are.
Yeah.
And I remember then that one of the things that I loved about that story, I just pulled it out to look at it again to remember, is that phrase that they repeat is just be who you are. Because I always thought that word just, that qualifier there, made it feel like it's good to go out and try these things, but remember, whatever you're trying, make sure you're doing it for you and you're not doing it for anyone else. And there's just something there that I don't know how you do it, Todd, but the way that you return to us every time and just the way that you're just there, I feel like you're building trust and love with your readers. And that is readers of all ages, and, you know, including teachers and librarians, as well as parents and children. I don't know how else to say that. Like, we approached this podcast because I was ready to talk to you about Love the World. But all I keep thinking is how much I really hope that you do get to feel this love back, all this love you put out for all of us. I hope that gratitude does reach you. I hope that in the YouTube videos that you share with your dogs, as you're reading Love the World to your dogs, as you are sharing these different things online, as you're going out to schools, I hope that you're able to absorb back that love that is reflected in what you share, and really feel it, because you're doing good, solid work.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. And again, I feel like, I get to do something that so many people would like to do, and I'm fortunate, and somebody, believed in me. And I think all my life I've had to have, I've never forgotten what it's like to need other people to help you because, I've been lost, most of my life. And my grandma used to say to me, "I know you're going to find your way. You're a little lost now, but I just know you're going to find your way." And I never really knew what that meant, although I did know I was going to figure out whatever these things were inside me that said there's a bigger world out there. And I think being in denial and not, once I had confidence in saying, there's something in the world that I want to do, and I'm going to figure it out. And there are people that along the way that have helped me and given me chances. And I would say, my publisher, Little Brown, Megan Tingley, my editor. It's like, things were not, like this big, huge thing in the beginning. There was a lot of like, what is this? And they never gave up. And I think, that's the important thing too, is like on kids and everything, is this like, just don't give up on them. And great things can come when you nurture things along. And so I'm very fortunate for that. And again, like I said, I'm not brilliant. I don't have a curriculum. I don't have a degree in psychology. I don't have anything beyond high school. It's just simply being me, speaking from the heart, and think like, well, how do you think people want to feel? How do you think kids, what do you think they want to hear? What do you think they need? What can you do to help? And I'm able to help, I think, and make a difference and enjoy what I do. So I feel like I'm really, really fortunate, and I don't know anything else. What I do is just purely the way I feel. So
Keep
that's
it
it. Don't
pure.
ask me to do anything else. This is it.
Well, if you're this is the wrong way to say it, but I was to say if you're gonna be pigeonholed in any way, then to be pigeonholed by making affirming children's picture books is like the way to go.
It is. It
That's
is. I agree.
wonderful. Todd, thank you so much for being here. This has meant a lot to me.
No, it's you're I could talk to you all the time. I feel like this could go on for hours. It's like you're easy to talk to. You're a librarian. It's just like you're passionate. You're teaching. What you do is it just. It's people like you that make a difference in the world and kids' lives, and I needed more people like you when I was younger. So thank you for being so passionate about what you do and talking to me about Love the World.
That's so sweet. Okay, so let me wrap up by giving you a chance to talk directly to your readers. We'll end on that. Todd, I will see a library full of children tomorrow morning. Is there a message that I can bring to them from you?
Yes. Be who you are. Keep reading. It's okay to eat macaroni and cheese in the bathtub. Ask permission first. I've gotten in trouble over that. And the end. Love, Todd.
This podcast is recorded and produced by me, Matthew Winner, in my library studio in Ellicott City, Maryland. You can subscribe to the podcast and access the archive of over 350 episodes at All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com and check out other podcasts from All the Wonders, including the Picture Booking Podcast with Nick Patton, a semi-weekly podcast about picture books and the people who make them, and Books Between, a podcast hosted by Karina Allen, helping to connect kids ages 8 to 12 and their parents, teachers, and librarians with the books they'll love. Our theme music is by Emily Arrow. All views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the individuals, myself included, and do not reflect any ideas or viewpoints of the publishers of the books referenced. Listeners, if this episode connected with you, I'd love to hear it. Leave a comment on allthewonders.com or rate the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher through stars or reviews. Sharing the podcast with friends through Facebook, Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. And that's a very good thing indeed. Coming up on the podcast, Dan Santat shares After the Fall, how Humpty Dumpty got back up again. See you then, and thanks for listening. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep, and I'll see you there.